What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, NXT, AEW review. These are obviously a quicker review than our standard Wednesday Night War podcast. But if you want that in-depth review, you want that real deep look at NXT and AEW, check out that show. Alex Palowski, Warren Hayes, Louis Dangor. But let's go ahead and get into the show. I did get to watch both of them concurrently. I actually can pay more attention now since I'm not setting up podcasts and all that stuff. But we had Cameron Grimes and Damian Priest. I hate this booking of Damian Priest. I mentioned it last week. He got over, and people like him, because he's a big badass that does cool moves. So what do they do when they turn him babyface and they want people to like him more? They have him sell to people. Not only that, people half his size. Now, you guys know that I'm not much on the he's too big to sell thing. But if you're pushing a guy like Damian Priest, yeah. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, Cameron Grimes beat him! Cameron Grimes, who has never had any semblance of extended creative, beat him. Well, you know what? There we go. Oh, but he's got hurt ribs. He's got hurt ribs. He's fighting for better. Man, come on. They have botched Damian Priest. He was over after In Your House. Everybody was talking about him. Two weeks later, womp. We see Timothy Thatcher's wrestling school. Good stuff. Santos Escobar defeated Jake Atlas. He got hit the Phantasma driver after he stopped Jake from hitting the Rainbow DDT. You got to keep having Santos Escobar win matches like this. This should have been a title match. I don't think it was, but it should have been. Just why not? I like champions like that. And that's a way you help establish a heel, too. He's not scared to put his title on the line, even against people that might not deserve it yet. Make it a title match. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez defeated Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. This ruled. One, it's good to see Casey Catanzaro out there. I like her team with Caden Carter. They aren't at the spot where they gotta win a lot yet. But let me tell you, Raquel Gonzalez doing that 1995 Diesel-style jackknife to Casey Catanzaro while she boots Caden Carter. Oh boy, do I love that. And I like Dakota Kai. I like her and Raquel teaming. I like Dakota going for the title. I think both of them are going to be really, really great moving forward. But that Raquel spot specifically, to me, was amazing. Karrion Kross keeps looking like a star. It did look like at one point whenever they did the Northern Light suplex and he rolled through, maybe there was a struggle there because they cut to Scarlett. Scarlett is fine-tuning that entrance, which I'm a big fan of. Like, she's finding the trial and error, finding what looks better, what looks best. And Karrion Kross ends up hitting the cross jacket and beating Bronson Reed. Watching Karrion Kross just toss Bronson Reed's big ass all around the ring is awesome. I love it, man. I love it. Rhea Ripley throws Robert Stone in a trash can after he asks her to join the Robert Stone brand. Aaliyah shows up and yells. They have a match, and Rhea Ripley beats her ass. Loved it. She's really good. I like Rhea Ripley in this spot a little bit better. She's still gotta come a little bit further than 80s, 90s action movie dialogue stuff. Like, I think it's a little too cheesy. Like, when you look at the comparison between AEW and WWE, AEW makes their, or has their wrestlers a little more natural. And Rhea does a lot of the, well, type of stuff. Like, if you go back and look at her Charlotte promo, where she's like, you won the Royal Rumble, and you're looking for a title match. Well, oh, man, it was just, God. It gets them under. Just be them. Let them be them. She was so red hot in November. But she beats Aaliyah, and I do love, after this, Robert Stone wants a rematch, and he wants William Regal to give it to him. William Regal says, okay, but it's going to be you and Aaliyah against Rhea Ripley. Robert Stone tells William Regal that if they win, he wants Rhea Ripley to join the Robert Stone brand. And William Regal's like, man, I can't do that. It's not up enough to me for that. But Rhea Ripley pops up and she's like, you know what? I'll make it happen. Let's do it. And I like that. That's an interesting stake to add to this. And why not? Why not try it out? Why not give it a go? And if she has to join the Robert Stone brand, I think that would be kind of entertaining. That's a supplemental story to add. And I like that. Not everybody has to be involved in the title picture. So I dig that an awful lot. Roderick Strong overcomes his fear of the trunk. We see another skit, a therapy skit with Kyle O'Reilly. I miss Kyle O'Reilly being around. It's so funny that these were supposed to be the guys without the personality, and they've got a ton of it. Roderick Strong freaks out and runs away from his match with Carrie, or with Dexter Lumis rather, and gets counted out. Dexter Lumis is really good here. Really good here. He's got that great look. You start to see, the TNA issue with him was that they didn't know what to do with him. They thought about using this gimmick a little bit, but didn't really commit to it. But they got a strap match next week. Fine. I'm cool with that. I like it. I also like Keith Lee winning. I do think he's cooled off quite a bit. But this North American Championship match with Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano was real good. Balor going right at Keith Lee, Gargano sitting out, and there was a really cool shot of Finn Balor in the corner and Keith Lee popping up. I can't remember what movie it was. It was a dinosaur shot, my wife said, whenever he popped up. Maybe Jurassic Park. Just pops right up and is over the shoulder. Damn, that's a good look. That's a really good look. I love Keith Lee's finish. That fireman's carry into a power slam, all for it, man. Really dug this. This was good stuff. Keith Lee getting the win and moving on to face Adam Cole. Adam Cole has that unique ability. It's like he gets cheered and he's not a babyface or anything like that, but he's got a good enough reaction, so to speak. But he's also really good at playing the fighting from underneath heel that has to do devious shit as well. AEW, thought this was a really fun show. I don't know if they needed to do a lumberjack match with all the shit that's going on. I get it. AEW tests, they do the rapid test, the blood test. But, there are people in the stands not wearing masks. And if you're going to say, oh, well, they test, miss me with that shit. Be as safe as you possibly can. As you possibly can. I know they have fans over along the corner to kind of help the sound, but just make it safe as possible. Wardlow and Luchasaurus. Wardlow wins a really good match, and this was a sirloin beef sons of bitches battle. I did not like the spot outside the ring off the ramp or off the stage where there were four straight throws onto the pile and dives onto the pile. At some point, you fucking move. You get out of the way. You don't stand there and catch a bunch of people. What the hell? How stupid does that make everybody else look? In an otherwise really, really good match. MJF and Wardlow went after all three members of Jurassic Express, and the Lumberjacks try to break it up. So I think we're probably going to get Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy Jack Perry against MJF and Wardlow. Oh, let me tell you how much I like Hikaru Shida. She confronted Penelope Ford before the match, and Ford slaps her. Hikaru walks into the ring, hits Red Velvet with a knee and a Falcon Arrow, and pins her. Well, let me tell you, first off, you are never going to hear me complain about a Falcon Arrow being a finish. Boy, it's one of my favorite moves of all time. It is a much safer drill claw, and it looks better than the drill claw, dare I say. Well, then she rolls right back out of the ring and goes right after Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian. They have a brawl and everybody has to be separated. Jeremy Lambert reported that Ricky Starks caught a stray to the face and has a swollen eye now. Damn! I can't wait. I love this match. Penelope will not win this match when they face each other at Fyter Fest, but Hikaru Shida is so goddamn good. And this was so good, a one-night way, just bam, there you go. Set this up, let's get it going. Dig it, man. I did not like this press conference so much. The Arn Anderson promo, I didn't like. I just didn't like it at all. Jake Hager wasn't there. They kept calling on Pro Wrestling Illustrated there at the press conference, which is funny. I wish they would have called them like Inside Wrestling Magazine or WOW Magazine or The Wrestler, something like that. Call on WCW Magazine, Ross Foreman of Impact PR fame now. But Cody brings up how the title isn't finished, and I thought that was an interesting way to bring up again, hey, this title belt isn't finished. We've made it known it's not finished, but it's my title belt. And Jake Hager shows up there, and it's a very cliche MMA face-off, and I get it. That's kind of his gag. That's kind of his deal. Hager puts his fist up in Cody's face, and Cody laughs it off, then gets serious. I'm just not feeling this, man. Not for me, buddy. Not for me. I'll tell you what is for me, though. This Joey Janela Sunny Kiss vignette where they are going to a gas station and Joey Janela is buying a bunch of Lunchables. And these guys, these thugs, try to steal Sunny Kiss's car and then get beat up by Janela. Janela comes out and swings a bag of Lunchables at them and then helps Sunny do an assisted low blow. Sonny had a great showing on Dynamite, and when Sonny got brought in to AEW, I wondered how much they would have Sonny on TV, because a lot of the matches that I saw from Kiss were heavily edited from Lucha Underground. It was a great showing tonight, and Brody and Colt ended up winning, and I like that. I love Colt Cabana's Pride-inspired gear, by the way. Really big fan of that. This was a good tag team match, and there was plenty of good tag team wrestling on this show. I really like this. I like Brody Lee helping Colt Cabana. And after this match, later on, they challenged SCU, who we are going to talk about momentarily. But Lance Archer also attacked Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela until Jake Roberts restrained him. SCU took on FTR. Man, Dax Harwood looks more like Arn Anderson every goddamn week. This was another good match. There was an unprettier, and I'm going to like that every single time. FTR pick up the win. They cut a promo, a really good one, where they say that the tag team division in AEW graduated to the big boys table, but they bit off more than they can chew. And that leads to Butcher and Blade stealing FTR's truck and distracting them while the Lucha Brothers attack. It's going to be Lucha Brothers and Butcher and the Blade taking on FTR and the Young Bucks. Young Bucks come out and make the save as well. I mean, it's a way for them to develop some professional courtesy, maybe even a way to beat them and get Butcher and the Blade and Lucha Brothers a monster win while there is some inconsistency there with FTR and Young Bucks. And, you know, perhaps, like I said, get the underdogs a big win and further the feud between FTR and Young Bucks and not make FTR look so invincible. Dr. Britt Baker is in a plexiglass Rolls Royce and she says she can't hear Big Swole. I was talking trash to her the whole time. Big Swole jumps on top and dumps a bunch of trash on her head. Amazing. It's just really good. Great video package for Jon Moxley and Brian Cage. An even better one about Hangman Page and Omega against Best Friends. This one was one of the best that I've seen. It mixed a lot of humor in there. It's great when you have other people to play off of. Brian Cage destroys a jobber. Jon Moxley's not there. He's isolating because Renee Young was in contact with someone with COVID-19 at the Performance Center. QT Marshall doing the same thing. WWE fucked up, man. It fucked up. Lots of positive tests, and it's having terrible ramifications for the rest of the wrestling world. It is so selfish and fucking stupid that they did not test for so long. Selfish and stupid. Santana took on broken Matt Hardy. Matt is up there, had trouble moving a little bit, but I loved Santana doing that running Michinoku driver and Hardy countered with a roll up for a three count. I liked the finish of this specifically. They were put in a tough position because Sammy Guevara got suspended because of his comments about Sasha Banks from years ago. He's undergoing sensitivity training. The sensitivity training will last a month, but the suspension is undefined at this point, from what I'm told. And a lot of people told me a lot of things about Sammy Guevara today. I heard that he, in addition to calling Sasha Banks, had called members of AEW to apologize to them and wanted people to know that he was sorry. Not only that he said it, but that he put people in this position. Santana and Ortiz attacked Matt after this match. Private Party made the save. They had to switch around this booking quite a bit because of Sammy. The thing was going to be Sammy was supposed to pick which version of Matt Hardy that he faced. And I kind of dig that. It's not like a top storyline, but it's a good storyline for Matt Hardy. Orange Cassidy comes to the ring for a face-to-face with Chris Jericho. Jericho calls Cassidy a joke in pro wrestling. The why did the chicken cross the road joke that is kind of humorous when you first see it, but then you get annoying and stupid, and says that he called up the Bucks and Omega and Cody and Tony Khan and asked why the hell they even signed him, and that he's embarrassed of Orange Cassidy, and says that Orange is going to need a miracle to beat him at Fighter Fest. And Orange Cassidy takes the microphone, puts it on the mat, and attacks Jericho with his slow kicks. And one day, I think that instead of doing the slow kick, he should fire up a real hot one. That'll be a good way to like do a turn or something like that, or really like get his help, give him a comeuppance or something. But Jericho broke his glasses, and Cassidy flipped out. They brawled all into the crowd, the equipment box, the camera crane. He got like there was a table that Jericho got put through after a Superman punch. A pretty fitting close to this show, I thought, because Orange Cassidy is white hot, man. White hot, and Chris Jericho is a top guy in the company. Man, I enjoy these AEW shows. I enjoy NXT as well. Another good night, man. Hope you guys check out the Wednesday Night War show. I thought that Warren knocked it out of the park hosting last week. Couldn't have been happier with that. We did the list and your girl today. Jimmy is at the cottage, so we didn't have the list and your boy. We had the list and your girl, and people are liking it. Thank you guys so much. Next week, we're going to be talking about NXT Great American Bash, which is one of the pettiest fucking things that WWE could have done. Yeah, they're bringing back Great American Bash to counter-program Fighter Fest. And not just Great American Bash. Great American Bash, an idea that Cody Rhodes' dad created. Dusty's daughter, Teal, posted on Twitter, "Cut me a check." Damn. Cody has said before that he would give up 100 Slamboree trademarks for the raid trademarks to Great American Bash and Starrcade. But we're talking about it next week. Great American Bash and Fighter Fest. And I gotta say, Great American Bash is definitely a better name than Fighter Fest. Why the hell are they still calling that Fighter Fest? Like, call it like Tiger Fest or something. Tiger King related. Shit, anything but Fighter Fest. That was out a year. It was a little bit dated then. Now, what the hell do I know? I'm just some gobshite on the internet. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate all of you. We're out.